Welcome back to Jamie D and Big Newt. I'm Jamie D'Amico. He is Big Chris Newton. Say what up, though.
What up, though?
That's right, what up, though. Anyway, it wasn't the way any of us would have drawn it up. All of us pretty much expected the Bills to take it to the Steelers. Well, that's not how it worked out. But we are going to talk about what went wrong. And also, there were some things that went right. We're going to talk about that, too. We're going to break it all down for you. But in the meantime, did you know our buddy, Big Chris Newton, came up to D.C. and watched the game with me? Hell yeah.
Yeah, man, I was in the city. I had to come up. My daughter had a workout with Blue Star up at Sidwell Friends in D.C., so I got her registered, dropped her off, and then I hit hightailed down to the bullpen right outside Nats Park and got to enjoy the game with you along with a couple hundred other Buffalonians. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, man. Hot day. Oh, man. 90 degrees, sun, no shade.
It's so funny, man. Hey, y'all, the fact that this man, every time we went to commercial break, he ran to the shade. I'm like, dude. And hey, I'm granted, like, you know, once again, man, I'm a 400-pound African-American. If anybody should be looking for shade, it should be me. I'm thinking you want to bask in the sun, get your little tan on, and you're running for the shade.
Oh, man. Okay, understand this. For those of you that I have not met in person or hasn't seen a picture of me, I'm a ginger. So the only thing that sustains life on Earth, the sun, is also actively trying to kill me with melanoma. So I got to get out whenever I get the opportunity. I was wearing sunscreen and still my body was saying, something ain't right, man. You got to stop. So did you know, Big Newt, that being in the sun too much can cause cold sores?
I did not know that.
Well, guess what I've got? Cold sore. Woke up really? With it yesterday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't that fun?
First of all, was it 90 degrees? I thought it was like in the 80s. Was it really 90 degrees?
It was. Yeah.
Okay. I'm a big guy. And I usually sweat anything. As I've told the listeners, I sweat usually anything past 75. But I really wasn't that uncomfortable. Maybe I'm just so tuned into the game. But I felt like it was hot, and definitely the shade. Once the shade came over the buildings in downtown D.C., it definitely got a lot cooler.
Yeah.
But I felt like it was probably maybe 80, perhaps 85. But then once we got the shade, it felt like 70, like a crisp 70, maybe 75.
Oh, man, you
maybe
are
I'm wrong,
way though. Off.
Yeah, but I test the temperature by how much Newt is sweating. I have my Buffalo Bills towel there, you know, on my shoulder. I was wiping my brow a little bit, but usually 90 degrees, I'm sweating profusely.
Wiping your brow. You're wiping your entire damn head.
I know, man, because I'm a bald head, man. I got to keep it clean, man. I have hair. I just choose to be bald for any new listeners out there.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, man. Like, there's so many dudes who don't have hair because they can't, and then you are like, you're it's almost like you're mocking them.
It's just, I'm just lazy when it comes to my hair. And well, first of all, as my daughter always tells me, I didn't give her a good grade of hair. Obviously, my kids are biracial. And so Jalen has this nice wavy hair like Lynn's dad has, because he's like half French. He's like French Canadian or something. So he got this cool kind of wavy hair. But then Simone, my daughter, has my hair. So when she doesn't get it pressed or she don't have it in braids, it looks like a big afro that she just can't really do anything with. So I apologize to her all the time for that.
Well, you know, I've seen pictures of you from back in the day where you've got that tight fro and you look good, man.
Bring that
back.
I do sometimes, like in the wintertime, I'll grow my hair out. It's just I'm so lazy and too cheap to go to the barbershop to maintain it. Like, it looks good when I first get it cut, but 2 days later, it just looks like it's that. So I'm just lazy. I just want to wake up, shave, and get on with it.
Yeah, you are not afraid of hair removal, are you?
No, I'm really not. And I shave my legs and everything else, too. That's why I noticed you, because I noticed you sure every time you was walking to the shade, I'm looking at your legs, your hairy legs and stuff. I'm like, I can't do it, dude. I shave my legs. I shave everything.
Yeah, in the meantime, I'm looking over at you, the 400-pound eel.
Not an eel. Good stuff. I like that.
Oh, God, what is wrong with us?
Oh, my God. I guess I could be other things, too. I'll take an eel. That's fine. I'll take that.
I don't even know why an eel came to mind.
That's
so we've got a game to talk about here. And the Bills, well, in the second half of the game, they crapped the bed, didn't they?
Yeah, man. I know you all are like, why are these dudes cracking jokes and we just lost? I mean, it's okay, Bills Mafia. One game is not going to ruin the season. Like Jordan Poirier says, don't act like we just lost the Super Bowl. He said that in the post game, and I totally agree with him.
Yeah.
It's one game. It would have been great if we would have won the game, obviously. When we lost the game, it's just a little mud on your face. But don't deny the fact that I take anything away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. They might not be a great team, but they are a great organization. And they have great coaches, great front office. So what happened on Sunday, man, I mean, we're going to go in and talk about it, but we can't not play well and beat a team like that. And hats off to them. So, and also, if you need anything else, it was a lot of good teams that are Super Bowl contenders. Green Bay, Tennessee, they lost this weekend too. And other good teams like Baltimore. I don't know if you stayed up and watched the Baltimore Raiders mm-hmm. game on Monday night, but that game turned out to be wonderful. The Colts, Cleveland, Washington, and Dallas. All those teams are potential playoff teams, and they all lost too, so we're not alone.
Well, hey, at one point last season, the Bucs were 7-5. Okay, sure. There was COVID and no real training camp preseason. They had a lot of new players, whatever. They were 7-5 and they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, don't get your undies in a bunch over one loss to what is a good team. So the thing that made it very clear to me how good Pittsburgh is the number of players they have on defense that really make a big difference in the game. Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick. These are players who the Bills, you want them to have more impact players like that. You know, we got to see Ed Oliver get there. We got to see Tremaine Edmonds get there. Obviously, the Bills secondary is excellent, so we can't really talk about that. But you want to see Gregory Rousseau become a TJ Watt type. And it's funny, we were sitting with our friend Nicole, who every time Watt made a play, she's like, I hate that guy. And for good reason, because all he does is make plays. But the thing to me that stood out about this game is everything that we were concerned about in the offseason came to fruition in this game. And those things were the interior of the offensive line, specifically the guards, and CB2. Those seem to be the things that cost the Bills the game outside of a punt that was blocked. But go ahead.
No, I was just going to piggyback off that. I totally agree with you. And one of the bright spots about this game, and I know it's hard to look at bright spots in a loss, but one thing I was thinking driving that 3 hours home back to Richmond, because it was all kind of traffic, but the thing, and listening to the post game, is I like the fact that we could critique and talk about the game and talk about our warts, because when we win, nobody wants to talk about that. Because I listened to the post-game show, Shope and the Bulldog. I listened to Nate Geary Overtime. We talked about this, you know, last year, too. When we win, nobody wants to critique that. Oh, shut up. We won. We don't want to hear that. So now that we lost, okay, let's talk about it. Because what we do here at the Jamie D and Big News Show is we're going to talk about the real good and bad, whether we win or lose. And I know people really don't want to hear that sometimes, but it needs to be even keeled. When we winning, we're probably not as good as we think we are. And when we lose, we're not as bad. You realize it was people actually calling in the Sal Capaccio show. I was on the elliptical yesterday morning, on the elliptical, getting my miles in. And people were calling in to his show yesterday at 10 o'clock talking about, so, oh, man, Mr. Trubisky should be put in if Josh Allen can't do better. People said that. And dude, I get it. You're pissed off. It was an older guy, and I understand you're pissed off. You like, man, I ain't got that many more years. I got to win a Super Bowl. You like, man, whatever it takes. But we all know that that's not going to happen.
Right. You know, it's like back in the Super Bowl days, and you weren't living in Western New York during that time period, but there were so many people that were calling for Frank Reich to start. And Frank Reich, in an interview recently, said that he thought he should be starting too. And these like shows you what I know. I thought I should be playing over Jim Kelly. But
how things work out.
But you know what? The second string quarterback is always the most popular player on a team. It just seems to be that way.
Yes. Yeah. And I know people look in and like they don't want to see Josh Allen come out and look the way he looked. And I know I'm getting off script a little bit. But if you want to talk about the biggest thing or one of the biggest things also is Sweeney was being active and Zach Moss was inactive.
Yep.
And they said that maybe, an hour before kickoff, I think, maybe yes. two. And so I know a lot of people play fantasy. I don't play fantasy, obviously, but I know a lot of people had drafted Zach Moss and they were pissed off about that, especially with the late announcement of him being active. I don't think that will be the case this weekend in Miami. I think he'll be active because I think he could have helped us perhaps win this game.
Mm-hmm. So let's dive into a little bit of the guard play. Now, before the game, we said Cam Hayward is going to be a problem. He was a problem last year, and he's a great player. Okay, so he got matched up against John Feliciano, the newly re-signed John Feliciano. Well, let's take a look at the performance of the Steelers' D-line as a whole. They had 19 pressures on Josh Allen. 10 of them came from Cam Hayward. That's an interior defensive lineman. 6 came from TJ Watt and 5 from Melvin Ingram, who, oh, by the way, drew 3 holds against Deion Dawkins. Ouch. So, to break that down, Feliciano was specifically credited for 8 pressures allowed and 1 sack. Dawkins, 5 pressures allowed, 3 sacks. Okay, now ready for this? Pro Football Focus. Feliciano rated 30.9.
That's the reason why we thought going into the game it was going to be a 3-guard rotation where he took, I think, he took all the snaps, and then Bunginger took maybe 10 snaps, and Cody Ford took all but 10 snaps.
Right. And so, Ford graded out 61.2, which isn't great. It's like the low end of average, but he more than doubled up Feliciano. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it wasn't a good thing, man. The interior, we had to figure that out. And once again, man, I'm going to keep talking about this. You all going to get mad. But once you give Josh out of that contract, the job of the general manager becomes that much more important. And I'm going to keep saying that over and over again. And so we should have, that was a problem. We knew that that was a problem and we chose not to address it.
We absolutely knew that that was a problem coming into this year. And I know people love John Feliciano. I know people want Cody Ford to work out, but we can't will these things into existence. I felt like they should have had an ace up their sleeve, both there and at the cornerback position.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, we're going to get into that, too. But you remember I told you I yelled out in the third quarter when Feliciano, I think that was Hayward, just ran through him.
Right,
I'm talking about just ran through him like wet paper. And I'm like, oh my God. And and so now it's like, yeah, Josh Allen didn't have a good game, but when you have plays like that, and then you had TJ Watt with the two sacks and so much pressure, a lot of his balls sailed on him because he couldn't set his feet. Well, he couldn't set his feet because he never felt comfortable, and as well, he shouldn't have.
Right. And that was something I kept saying throughout the entire game, is he's not setting his feet. He's doing these weird jump throws. And it's because he was uncomfortable, but also at the same time, just because you're uncomfortable, you got to be good enough to not lose your fundamentals and in your mechanics.
Yeah, yeah, you would think that, man, but until you got guys chopping at you and hitting you, I mean, I understand, dude. Like,
yeah,
it's hard. Like, I mean, in a perfect world, it would be like that, but when you're getting hit and chased and you feel, and also you got to realize that I'm sure he feels the pressure of having to live up to his new contract and sure. Knowing that he does have to carry the offense. Because if we only score, 16 points, we're not going to win too many games. No. So it falls on him. And especially a day like Sunday, where the defense did their part. They were top 10 in all categories. So they did their part. The offense just didn't come through and do their part, and it mainly falls. It falls on Josh Allen's shoulder, but I will say it wasn't necessarily his fault. It was the offensive line. So unless you're going to go out and find a new O-line coach that's going to coach him up better or whatever, then this is pretty much what we have. So I would expect to see Budinger getting a few more snaps this week.
I am worried that a bad performance like Josh Allen is going to cause people to start screaming for Brian Daboll's head. Because Josh Allen, you remember early in the game, he missed a deep pass to a wide open Emmanuel Sanders.
Yep.
Sanders had 4 yards on that guy, and Allen missed him.
Yep.
You know,
that was all on him.
That's on him. You know, there were questionable fourth down calls. I agree with that. But they're only questionable if you don't make that, if you don't make the first down, you know?
Right. But I know you're talking about the fourth and half a yard, and we try to run a fake up the middle and then a toss sweep, and it just got blown up by the cornerback. Both of us were sitting there looking like, just give it to Josh Allen. You 6'5", 200 whatever pounds, you're going to fall for it. And we did it in the first half. And it went for like, we only needed a yard. It went for like 4 yards. So right. I don't understand why you would get cute. But from everything I've been hearing, it's because Brian Daboll had that play in the back pocket. And apparently that was a play that we ran back with Willis McGahee. And it went for like 30 or 40 yards for a touchdown back in the day, which is all great. But yeah, I wish we would have overruled that call and just go up the middle. If we go up the middle and they blow it up, I don't think I would be like, oh, you need to be more imaginative than that. But when you toss the ball backwards, it's too many things that could go wrong.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Most all the time when you push a quarterback, especially somebody as big as him, you're always going to get a yard, like almost always.
The other issue with it, it wasn't exactly the same play that the Bills ran in 2004. The receiver, and when they ran it in 2004, was on the other side of the line of scrimmage, taking the cornerback away from the direction that the play was going. And the corner, he's Cortland Sutton. He's the one who made the play on that. He saw it immediately and took off after the running back. Nobody even put a hat on him. So it wasn't apples to apples. Now, the other thing that we discussed was what's going to happen. And we said that Levi Wallace could have a tough game going up against the big wide receivers that the Steelers have. And they didn't do him any favors because the Bills used man coverage on 58% of their defensive snaps, which was the second highest rate of all teams in week one.
Ooh,
the Bills
that's a
aren't
good nugget.
Good for that.
That's a good nugget. I like that.
Thanks, buddy. Now, I understand why they did it. They did it because they knew that Roethlisberger was going to be getting rid of the ball quickly. And he did. And we'll come back to that later. But they knew that he was going to be throwing the ball quickly. The receivers weren't going to be far downfield, so they were kind of doing press coverage. Oh, Levi, you just didn't look good out there, buddy.
Yeah, I definitely was thinking to myself, man, where's Josh Norman? Can we go to the waiver wire? I think I saw yesterday Drake Kirkpatrick signed somewhere. Like, get somebody out the scrap heap. I mean, they went at Levi Wallace, and you could tell they were picking on him.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And it was a tough cover, man. I mean, their receivers didn't go for a lot, but they made big plays when they had to. Going back to the play that T. White gave up, Tre'Davious mm-hmm. White on Chase Claypool, Notre Dame alum. That was a big play, man. It was perfect coverage, but Chase Claypool just went over and made a better play. And so you see how I just did that? That's the reason why I don't play fantasy football. Because y'all are probably listening to me like, why are you cheering for Chase Claypool? We don't care about him going to Notre Dame. That's why I don't play fantasy football. See, I normally wouldn't have said that, but fantasy football people, I'm sure somebody out of a couple hundred people that was at the bullpen had Chase Claypool on their fantasy. And I was like, if somebody would say that, yeah, man, I'm happy, I got a fantasy, I'll probably turn around and probably sock him one or something. That's the reason why I don't play. But no, going back to the topic, though, but yeah, their receivers made a lot of big plays in the game, not going for a lot of yardage, but they made big timely catches when they need in crucial moments.
Well, Deontay Johnson made that spectacular catch in the corner of the end zone where Levi Wallace got a hand on the ball and had really good coverage. Right. But you were saying it in the second half of the game. You kept saying, they're just making plays. We're not making plays, but they're making plays. And
yeah.
And they were.
Yeah.
They made big plays. And you know what? Great players make big plays at big times.
And that's what they did, man. They were on a roll. They were focused. And I get it, man. It's the first home game. You know how Bills Mafia come out. From what I'm hearing, that they was out there early. National anthem, the whole stadium full. I'm sure the energy was electric. And we fed off that energy in the first half. It's just when we went into halftime, we just laid a dud. So sometimes you could be too overhyped. You know,
sure.
Sometimes you got to settle down for the best of you.
Yeah. Huh. Now, something else I wanted to point out, this is neither good nor bad. You know, we covered the bad. Here's just, it is what it is. Emmanuel Sanders was targeted 8 times. He came down with 4 of them, but it became very clear how the Bills are going to use him this year. The air yards per target, that means how far downfield is he when the ball gets to him? He was 5th in the NFL, 18.6 yards downfield every time the ball got to him. That tells me they're planning on him being an intermediate threat. And I thought we were going to see a lot more underneath stuff to him. He also outsnapped Gabriel Davis 79-43.
Yeah, everybody pretty much thought that Gabriel Davis would be more integral part of our offense. And if it keeps going like this, then all of us will probably be wrong. Manny Sons had 4 catches and 52 yards. Once again, going back to the Josh Allen pass on the deep ball first half, if we would have connected that would have been a whole different game, and his stat line would look totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Gabriel Davis did come up with the big touchdown catch. When he threw that ball, I was just like, oh my God, where are you throwing? And then next thing you know, you see Gabriel Davis tiptoeing right inside the end line. So that was a wonderful throw, great catch, which I thought was going to go over his head into the stands, but he snagged.
And, you know, it was great concentration on his part, too. I mean, that went he had the defender in front of him in perfect position to make a play on the ball. And he kept his concentration strong enough and made the squeeze, which made me extremely happy.
Yeah. And that was a situation where he made a play because that ball was high, man, you know. And it is funny, going back to my college days, I remember we were playing Pittsburgh State my senior year, and I was at tight end. I'm wide open in the end zone. It was a play action. And my quarterback at the time threw it over my head, and I didn't even jump, right? And then so he yelled at me coming off the field. And he was like, why you didn't even jump? And I said, because if I would have got a hand on the ball, people would have looked at me like I should have caught it. Really? I literally said, I remember it like it was yesterday. I can't remember what I ate for breakfast Saturday morning, but I remember that what happened in 1994. And so for him to make that play, it's just a testament to his athleticism, because that ball is high and they're throwing it high and away. So if you don't, your guy don't get it, then it won't get picked off.
Huh. I can't believe you actually told him why you didn't jump.
Yeah. If I would have got a hand on the ball, then everybody would have looked at me like it was my fault. I'm looking at him like, and plus I was wide open. It was play action pass. It was like a 5-yard pass. I'm wide open. He just threw it over my head.
Because he wanted it to look like it was closer to you than it actually was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to talk about something that, in my opinion, went right. I thought the D-line played well. You disagree, huh?
I would have thought with how green their offensive line was, I would have thought that we would have took advantage of that up front, where we would have gotten more sacks. I feel like we have pressures, but I felt like during the game, and I'm sure you have the stats, but just watching the game with a naked eye, I feel like we had to bring blitzes. I feel like we had to do different things to apply pressure like we usually do in the Frazier defense, right? Mm-hmm. And so, because, I mean, we had two sacks. Joya Poya had one, and Mario Addison had the other. Right. So that's a blitz. And so I feel like, and then watching Pittsburgh, I feel like they never blitzed.
No, they didn't. They blitzed twice.
It was just their front four. And so going into the game, I would have thought it would have been switched. I would have thought that we could just bring four with our new toys, you know, Mario Addison and Greg Rousseau. I believe he started, right?
You did.
So I'm thinking that those guys were going to be able to get more pressure against a new line versus the other way around.
But the Steelers schemed it really well. So time to throw, the amount of time it takes from the snap to the quarterback letting go of the ball, Roethlisberger averaged 2.3 seconds from snap to throw, which was the fastest in week one. The Bills, you're right, they sacked him twice. They had six pressures. But here's the other thing. The average intended air yards per throw was 5.7. So that was the third shortest in the NFL this past weekend. And that tells me that the Steelers don't believe that their offensive line can sustain blocks for longer than, well, usually it takes 2.5 seconds to get a man through to the quarterback. And yeah, I mean, there weren't a lot of hits on Roethlisberger, but there weren't a lot of opportunities there. What I like is that they held him to 56 yards rushing. There are really only two big plays there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought that was pretty okay.
Right. Well, I know, once again, give a props to Leslie Frazier as a D coordinator. I don't think he gets the due that he deserves. He schemes up a lot of things, but I just want to be, okay, we got a first, second round pick. I know Boogie Basham wasn't active, but I need to see my front four. I don't want my safeties and linebackers getting the pressures. I want my front four getting pressures, and we can do more stuff in the back end moving forward.
Yeah.
And so if we couldn't do it against four new starters for Pittsburgh, then I'm like, okay, when are we going to be able to do it?
So I'm looking at the stats here, and Jerry Hughes led the Bills at his pressure rate was just under 12%. Epinesa was around 10%. And then number three was Harrison Phillips at about 7%. You had Obata, Justin Zimmer, and Gregory Rousseau that had zero pressures on the QB. That's, you know, when you've got two guys that are going 10% or above, I mean, that's really good. Not nearly as good as Cam Hayward, though. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I liked, Devin Singletary in the second half. Your boy, man. You were looking for big things out of Singletary.
Well, yeah. I mean, he had the one drive where he had the two big runs, but take away from that, I feel like it was mainly pedestrian. We did outrush them, and if you would have told me we would have did that, I would have been happy. If you would have told me that Sunday morning, we outrushed the Pittsburgh Steelers 117-75. Singletary had 11 carries for 72 yards with the longest run of 25. All right, and that's one thing. That's why I always say you have to watch the game and see how it unfolds versus just looking at the stat line. Mm-hmm. Take away that one drive where he had the two big runs, it would have been mainly pedestrian. Also, along with the rushing, Josh Allen, 9 carries for 44 yards. All right, if you're going to scramble for first downs, I'm okay. But all these power quarterback power runs, I don't want my $200 million quarterback doing power runs. We need to keep him out of harm's way. Just like we talked about with the offensive line, we got to protect him. When we dial up those plays, and I know what you're going to say. Well, Chris, but Big Newt, you know, that's the reason why we paid him that money, because he's a running threat. And that's fine. 3rd and 10, scramble for a first down, get down. But if he's powering himself up between the tackles, I don't think he's going to be able to sustain it for 17 weeks, bro. We'll be seeing we're going to be like the old man. We will see Trubisky in the game. I got respect. Please don't think, oh, you talk about old people. I'm an old man myself. I got respect for old people. So when we have dialogue and stuff with people online on Twitter and stuff, I don't care how crazy somebody say, I will never disrespect the older person. Because that dude, the dude I'm talking about, like, man, I've been a fan since before OJ Simpson and Jack Kemp and all this stuff. So I respect that. You know what I'm saying? I'm in a fraternity. You always give, you know, respect to the people who came before you, no matter what they say or do. You know, older people going to say crazy things. Heck, I know I say crazy things, and my kids laugh at me all the time. But you always show respect for the people who was doing it before you were. So If you're doing something crazy, I probably won't say anything. I'm like, yeah, I don't agree, but I'm definitely not going to disrespect you. Even though we know there's no way Trubisky's going to play over Josh Allen for a year, 2 years, just because of the contract. I'm like, oh, okay, I can understand that.
So here's a question. Do people think that Josh Allen played worse in this game than he did last year against the Steelers? What do you think the perception is?
I think it's different now because now he got that contract. So yeah. Josh Allen is 2-11 when trailing by 10 points. So that means that, okay, now we expect you to come back. And versus Mahomes, who now you're getting paid like Mahomes, he's won 6 in a row when he's down 10 points. Hell, I think they were down when they were down 10 points to Cleveland, I think.
Yeah.
On Sunday. So yeah. I mean, the comeback games are what you were, you know, that's kind of part of it. And so, once again, and we're going to keep talking about this contract, you want that money, you have to deliver.
That's a great point. So, I was asking the question because I'm looking at Allen's stats. From this game, he was 30 for 51 for 270 yards and a TD. He also threw in 44 yards on the ground. Last year, he was 24 for 43 for 238 yards, 2 TDs, and an interception, ran for 28 yards. Is it possible that the Steelers' defense is just really good and the Bills don't have the offensive line to keep Allen clean?
Yeah, it's both. And in fact, and callers were talking about this, we had to be able to run the football when we want to, and we just couldn't do that. See, that's part of it, too. It all intertwines with each other. If we're able – we're up 10. If we're able to keep the ball and sustain long drives with running the football, I don't want Josh Allen throwing the ball 50 times a game.
Hmm.
Okay, and I know he's our best player. I know this is what we are. And we always waited for a quarterback to do it. But if you're throwing 50 times for just 200, if you're throwing the ball 50 times and only throwing for 270 yards, that isn't good every week either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to be, we were up 10, we were able to give them a good dose of Singletary, and Moss was their breeder and able to sustain drives and kill some of the clock and have long drives and be able to score at the end, then I think that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. That does make a difference. So the Bills have the Dolphins coming up next week. And the Dolphins are coming off a 1-point win against the Patriots. Tua looked pedestrian. Mac Jones is pretty good. 29 for 39 for 281.
Ugh.
What?
No, I'm just saying, ugh. We don't want that. We don't want it. I want them to suck, man, with a rookie quarterback for a while.
I know. But they lost the game.
Yeah. Somebody had to win it.
And I'm looking at the stats here, and frankly, I don't know how the Dolphins put up enough in order to actually win this game. You know,
right. I think this is going to be like the Steelers game. It's going to be Miami wants some get back. It's going to be hot. The temperature is supposed to be 90 degrees at kickoff down in South Florida. The positive thing is, I think that we lost, so I think we're going to be like back a little, you know, back, not saying a must win, but I think we're going to be more attentive, okay, to McDermott this week, and he's going to get in their butts a little bit more because we lost. So hopefully they ain't out partying and going out and spending time with, we're on vacation. This is definitely going to be a business trip because it's going to be hot and they're going to want some get back from last year.
By the way, J.C. Jackson trashed Tua after the game. He said, that's what Tua do. if he doesn't have his first read, he's just going to throw the ball up, and that's when we capitalize on defense, when he makes mistakes like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to this Dolphins game. I know that they're going to be out for revenge after being just utterly embarrassed in a game that could have gotten them into the playoffs. Do you see the Bills starting 0-2, though?
No. I think we're going to get focused. We're going to have a good week of practice. We're going to go down to South Beach and take care of business. But, it's not going to be easy. If you're going to expect what happened last year in December, and I don't think that's going to happen. It's going to be a hard-fought game against a team that believes, but when it comes down to it, I don't think that their defensive front is going to be good like Pittsburgh. I think they're going to have things. I don't believe in Tua, and I can see Big Ben beating Josh Allen, even though Josh Allen threw for more yards. He's going to be smarter. He's hard to bring down. I just think Leslie Frazier is going to dial up things where Tua is going to be an experienced thing. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it as much, but we do need to win this game.
I hate seeing that like Teddy Bridgewater had a much better day than Josh Allen did. But it kind of gets balanced out when I see that like Aaron Rodgers was benched. Yeah. He was awful.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I saw that. Yeah, because I saw in the stat line that they put the young boy in Love in. So I figured something happened. But if you want to talk about people who look better than Josh Allen, what about former Buffalo Bill Tyrod Taylor?
Oh, right.
I mean, that was probably his greatest game, man. I mean, I know it was against Jacksonville and all, but geez.
I know. I didn't see them winning. I saw them going like 0-16, and then they pull that out.
Right.
0-17, sorry.
Mm-hmm. But it's always good. Like you just mentioned a few seconds ago, you're looking forward to this game. You're looking more forward to it now because we lost. All right. The only thing now is we know that we're not going to go 17-0. That's the only thing that's really off the table at this point. If we take care of business like we know we should, then it won't be that big of a deal. Now, if we only I predicted 13 wins, you predicted 12. I predicted 12, you predicted 11. If we get to 9 wins or 10 wins, then this Steelers game might come back and bite us at that point.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about home field advantage and things of that sort. But when we did our predictions, I had us beating the Steelers and losing at Miami. So now you just got to reverse it and come out of this 1-1. And we'll be good.
Yeah, Yeah, I think so. You know, this is the interesting thing to me is last season I was getting all kinds of nervous and had all this anxiety over like every single snap. Yeah. This year I was so calm during that game. Like nothing was upsetting me. Nothing was like making me, you know, tying me into the knots that I was last year. And I think it's just because win or lose this first game, even the second game, I still think the Bills are going to be a playoff team and they're going to be right there at the end.
Right.
And it feels entirely different when your expectation is, hey, they're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a comfortable place to be.
It is. It feels good to be there. But that's what it, once you start getting a little success, that's what it feels like. Especially when you know teams that start off well, like the Steelers last year, where they were undefeated. And then we came and punched them in the mouth. They start losing. Like, that's kind of part of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried. I think we're going to get it back on track.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think week two is when it begins. I just hope that it's a little cooler while I'm watching the game outdoors.
You got to be careful, too. You know, the Nets got a game Sunday, so.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Yeah, so the Nets got a game. So you make sure you take the Metro in and act accordingly. So
yeah, okay. I do want to give a shout to our friend Shatila. She apparently listens every week, doesn't necessarily mention it to it or comment on Twitter, but that's okay. Thank you so much, our fine friend, for being a part of it.
And I was like, you must have nothing to do. I was like, you ain't got any hobbies or nothing. You listen to us every week? Jeez.
But see, the Bills are her hobby. Have you ever seen anybody who owns more Bills gear?
And her, I tell her, her life is wonderful. She's a world traveler. She's been places I've only seen on TV, I tell you.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, quick, buddy.
Real quick before we go, just came off the wire about an hour ago. We're recording this Tuesday afternoon. Beginning September 26th versus the Washington football team. Fans 12 and over will require proof of vaccination.
Ooh.
Yeah, just came off the hot wire. I didn't even tell you about it. I'm hitting you with a gut punch right now, too. Masks would no longer be required at that point. But as of September 26th, everyone who attends Highmark Field will have to have proof of at least one shot. And you have to be fully vaccinated by October 31st versus Miami.
Oh, wow. They're announcing that kind of late. I'm surprised they didn't come up with that policy sooner. Geez, going to be interesting.
Yep. Peculiar Sports Group in Erie County just announced it about an hour ago. So act accordingly, people.
All right. Now we know the rules.
Yep.
All right.
Did you see also the Saints? They lost like five coaches to COVID.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that just happened a couple hours ago too. So we're gonna keep talking about COVID because this is gonna affect us one way or the other. So for those who don't like it, I apologize, but it affects the NFL and especially the Buffalo Bills. So we're gonna talk about it.
Yeah, that is correct. It's an issue that's not going away. Anyway, let's wrap it up. You got a song for us?
Hey!